Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him at this time. Our Father, our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together here to meet with you. We ask now that you meet with us. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able to hear you, not just with ears as your word is read or proclaimed, but that we would hear, Father, with those inner ears of faith, that we would understand what your word has said to us, both corporately and individually. And having heard you by the work of your Spirit, that we would be brought to repentance and faith and obedience. And that all of this would abound to glorifying Jesus Christ, who is worthy. We ask these things of you, Father, in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. We'll read from verse 4. Down through verse 9, and then we'll pick up again with verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with the fourth verse. Let's hear God's inerrant word. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for Yahweh God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Yahweh God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Yahweh God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Picking up then with verse 15. Then Yahweh God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Westminster Confession of Faith, page 857 in your hymnals, of good works. 857. A long chapter. Let us confess to God our faith, or at least this portion of the faith that is revealed to us by means of this chapter. Good works are only such as God hath commanded in his holy word, and not such as, without the warrant thereof, are devised by men out of blind zeal or upon any pretense of good intention. These good works, done in obedience to God's commandments, are the fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith. And by them believers manifest their thankfulness, strengthen their assurance, edify their brethren, adorn the profession of the gospel, stop the mouths of the adversaries, and glorify God, whose workmanship they are, created in Christ Jesus thereunto, that, having their fruit unto holiness, they may have the end, eternal life. Their ability to do good works is not at all from themselves, but wholly from the Spirit of Christ, and that they may be enabled thereunto, beside the graces they have already received, there is required an actual influence of the same Holy Spirit to work in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. Yet are they not hereupon to grow negligent, as if they were not bound to perform any duty unless upon a special motion of the Spirit. But they ought to be diligent in stirring up the grace of God that is in them. They who, in their obedience, attain to the greatest height which is possible in this life, are so far from being able to supererogate and to do more than God requires, as that they fall short of much which in duty are bound to do. We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God by reason of the great disproportionment that is between them and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that is between us and God, whom by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. But when we have done all we can, we have done but our duty and are unprofitable servants. And because, as they are good, they proceed from His Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. Notwithstanding, the persons of believers being accepted through Christ, their good works also are accepted in Him, not as though they were in this life wholly unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, but that He, looking upon them in His Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere, although accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. Although for the matter of them they may be things which God commands, and of good use both to themselves and others, yet because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor are done in a right manner, according to the word, nor to a right end, the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God, or make a man meet to receive grace from God, and yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing unto God. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you're real insightful, you might realize that, well, wait a minute, this is what we do in the afternoon. If you're not, you wouldn't notice this, but we're going to switch this Sunday only. We'll be doing 1 John in the afternoon today. We'll do Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning. So the first thing we're going to do right now is let us hear God's inerrant word. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before our God. Excuse me. Our Father, we thank You for the word that we have read this morning, both from Moses and from Paul. We pray, Father, that as we have heard You speak to us, we would have been prepared to hear You speak to us still more in the next few minutes. Grant that we might bow the knee before You, not merely physically, but above all, intellectually and spiritually, that we would hear Your voice, that we would say, so be it. Amen, Lord. Let it be. May it come to pass. And if we hear the condemnation of our sins, then may we be brought to the point of repentance and of faith. For even though we have professed to have repented and believed in the past, yet, Father, every one of us is a sinner. Every one of us needs to repent and to believe again or believe still in the faith that You have revealed to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. May You work in us in such a way this day through Your Word and Your Spirit that we become ever more like Him, that we would obey Him, that we would live for Him, that we would glorify Him. Now again, Father, help us to hear You as we look to Your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. These are exceedingly familiar verses for us, aren't they? We all know them very well. Let's see how well. Close your Bibles. Sword drill. And I can't remember how it starts off. For you have been saved by grace. Through faith. Does anybody know it?
You have been saved by grace
through faith. Yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We all know this, right? Evidently not. Yeah, you know King James, and I'm probably messing up the New King James because I know the New American Standard. I've memorized verse 10 too, but I can't promise you I could quote it. And in fact, last night Jan and I were trying to remember another passage, and I couldn't even quote it right. These are very, very familiar texts. And it's interesting, I learned 8 and 9 separate from 10. But they're not separate. They're in the same section, the same paragraph, and trying to convey the same message, which we'll deal with in a few moments. First, let's look and step through these very familiar verses, these very familiar phrases. For by grace you have been saved. We all know those words, don't we? We know that salvation is by grace. It is not by what? Later on in the verse. By works. It is by grace through faith. If you've read Paul's epistles, you'll often hear how two sets of words are set up as opposites. Grace and works, and faith and works. Sometimes grace or faith and the flesh. And Paul has these sets of opposites that he uses, and certain synonyms are mingled in. And yet this is a case where grace, salvation by grace and through faith, they're not meaning exactly the same thing. It's interesting, one of the things I learned in my studies was that Calvin got it wrong. That's rare. At least in my estimation, Calvin got it wrong, and most modern interpreters like Calvin also have gotten it wrong. But Calvin's successor, or later successor, Beza, got it right, and strangely enough, so did the church fathers. If we take it the way some have interpreted it, including Calvin, when we read, you've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, and what does that mean? What's the that? And that's the question. Is that faith or is that the salvation? If we read it that it is the salvation, what it says is you have been saved by grace and you have been saved by grace. Because it's the same thing. That not of yourselves, the salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's redundant. It doesn't say anything. There's no progression whatsoever. If, however, as is usually interpreted, the not of yourselves is a parenthetical statement, then it refers to faith. In other words, you've been saved by grace through faith, and the faith is a gift of God, which means what? More grace. Faith, therefore, is not a work in itself. Faith is merely a means or a funnel, if you will, through which this grace comes, this salvation comes to us. Look again at the text. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then we come to the opposite of not grace, in this sense, but of faith. You've been saved by grace through faith, not of works. Now what do you notice about works in this verse? What does Paul say about it? Sometimes he uses phrases like works of the law or works of the flesh. He doesn't add anything to it here, does he? He doesn't add anything. He doesn't qualify it. There are no qualifications. There are no limitations. Therefore, works here does not mean ceremonial works exclusively. So in other words, it's not by circumcision, which he deals with in Galatians. Nor is it by a holiness of life. So anybody wearing polyester blend clothing today? Almost all of our shirts are polyester cotton or polyester rayon or something like that. Are you wearing maybe, I've had some slacks that have both linen and wool in them, which I think is explicitly forbidden in the Old Covenant scriptures. And then a whole host of polyester added as well, which should have been forbidden in the Old Testament scriptures, but it didn't exist. Not ceremonial works. Not that kind of works. Nor is it legal works in the sense of honoring your father and mother. It's not referring to legal works alone. That I've kept the Ten Commandments. When the rich young ruler comes to Christ, he says he's kept the commandments from his youth. He's talking here in the sense of, I've kept the law, he thought. He's kept the commandments. By not putting any kind of limits on it, by not putting any kind of qualifiers on it, what Paul is basically dealing with is any kind of work, all kinds of work. Ceremonial works, legal works, moral work, it doesn't matter. If there's anything that I seek to do to gain salvation, I haven't got salvation by grace, through faith. Because I've done something other than faith. Even, and this is why it's so important about faith as a gift, even the gift of the work of belief. Oh, I'm saved because I believed and God saw my faith. And my faith is a good work. That's misunderstanding what's happening here. Because it's not my faith. Let's go back to verse 18. Where does faith come from? It's not my faith. It's the faith that God gave me. That saved me. I didn't do anything. Even my believing is not my work, but God's work. So, not of works. And what's the reason for not of works? It takes away any bragging rights I might have. That was the problem with the Pharisees. Maybe the problem with the Philistines too, but it was the Pharisees' problem. They were bragging about their righteousness. Do you remember the story that Jesus talks about the two men who go to the temple to pray? And the Pharisee stands before God and says, I thank you, God, that I'm really number one. I thank you because I do all these wonderful things. What a good, sounds like, was it? Is it Jack Horner or sat in a corner? No. Yeah, sucking his thumb plum, what a good boy am I. Obviously, I know the Bible a little better than my nursery rhymes. And I don't know them very well. The Pharisee's not... He's thanking God, but he's bragging about himself. His salvation, he saw, and that was the problem of the Pharisees, is something that they worked for and earned and deserved. I thank you that I am so wonderful. And modest, too. And who is it about the other fellow? Publican, if I remember correctly. A sinner who would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but beats himself on the chest and literally says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. The one and the only. The chief. By the way, when Paul talks about himself as being the chief of sinners, this guy would have contended that Paul was wrong. And I think, based on my understanding of Scripture, that every believer should say Paul was wrong. Paul wasn't the chief of sinners. I am. That's the attitude of the publican. That's the attitude of Paul. And I think that's the attitude of every right-thinking, professing believer. I'm the worst. To be the chief sinner, of course, is to be the bottom of the heap. The lowest on the totem pole. That's what that man said. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus pointed out which one goes down justified. The one who says, God be merciful. I can't brag of my good deeds. I haven't got any. I am the sinner. As opposed to the guy who's bragging. What this salvation does then is it takes away bragging rights. I've got nothing to boast of. I can't brag that I'm a really good fellow. I can't brag that, well, I'm smarter than you because I believed in Jesus. Because you see, that faith is a gift of God. It's not from me. Everything I have and everything I am and everything I hope to be is by grace. The only thing I can brag about is what? God. I can only boast in Him. Then we look at the next verse, which again brings us back to God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wait a minute. Well, let's come back to that. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why did we read Genesis chapter 2? Do you wonder about that? Because what this verse is talking about is a Genesis 2 again. Did you notice what happens in Genesis 2? God forms man from the dust of the earth. He takes the minerals from the earth from which, you know, when I eat something, I'm putting minerals in my body. Where do they come from? If I'm eating a cow, rare, juicy, sweet, where do the minerals come from? Well, from the grass or the grain that the cow ate, right? And where did those minerals come from in the grass or the grain? From the ground. Some of you eat vegetables. You're getting your minerals a little closer than I am. I eat them too. But we're getting our stuff from the ground, which is where we came. He forms Adam and then breathes in him the breath of life. It's wonderful in Greek because in Hebrew it's all the same verb. Spirit, breath, life. I mean, it's all, not life, but those other words are there, spirit and breathing and the breath of life. It's all the same word. He makes him a living soul. And then he places him in the Garden of Eden. And we're told that he prepared the garden for Adam and places him in it. And the word garden here is, this is unlike the rest of the earth. This little piece of property, however big it may have been, is totally tamed. Adam's job is to keep it that way. It's his job to prune the branches. It's his job to pull away the soil from the edge of the tree so the bugs don't get up in them. He has work to do that's been prepared for him. That's exactly what verse 10 is talking about. You see, we have been recreated in Christ Jesus. And we have been recreated for work. Now, the interesting thing for me in these two verses, or these three verses, is how verse 8 lays down positively that we have been saved by grace through faith. Then it says negatively, the grace is not, or the faith is not from me, it's from God. And then negatively, it's not from works. And then the very next verse, it talks about works, doesn't it? One of the problems we sometimes have with Scripture is we don't bother reading it carefully. See, the problem the Pharisees had with the law was they didn't read it, at least not carefully enough. Whether you look at Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, in the two giving of the 10 words, there's a preface. It's in both of those accounts. Before God says, you shall and you shall not, He says something else. He says, I delivered you, or rescued you, or saved you. He brought Israel out of Egypt. That's salvation first. Then came the law. Salvation first, then good works. Because we've been saved for that purpose. Turn with me for just a moment to 2 Corinthians. Where's my reference? I didn't write it down. 2 Corinthians. There it is, 5:17. I have a semi-memorized. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You probably have this memorized, or once upon a time did. Because Paul says almost the same thing here that he says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The Old King James has a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When God put Adam in the garden, it was what? Brand new. A new man, a new garden, new life, new work. And when we have been saved by grace through faith, you know, there's one difference between us and Adam. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Adam didn't even exist. In both cases, God has to give us life. He forms them of the ground. He might as well have been dead. He had no life. We were dead in trespasses and sins. He gives us through His Spirit the new life. And He does that, and there's a goal. There's a job to be done. Adam's job was assigned to tend the garden and, by implication, to expand it so that the whole earth would become Eden. The whole earth would be a garden. The earth was not a garden. Only Eden was a garden. The whole earth was to become one. As Adam expanded it, intended it, brought the whole creation under his lordship. We have work to do too. Good works. Good works that, in fact, we're told what at the end of verse 10? That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The imagery here is almost of marching in a troop and accompanied by things. Think of somebody, have you ever seen someone walking dogs? I don't mean one singular, but some people make a living by walking, you know, 5 or 10. I don't know how you could do that. How do you have 5 or 10 dogs wanting to go in the same direction instead of all of them wanting to go everywhere at the same time? It might rip your arms off. But there are people, I've seen them even in our neighborhood, people walking that kind of dogs. I mean, must be their extra money for their paper or whatever. And they're accompanied by them. They're surrounded by them. The imagery here is that God has created us again for these good works that He had prepared ahead of time, that we would be surrounded by. In other words, the way you could tell the Christian is by the good works that surrounds him or her. Not they became one by good works, that's the cart before the horse, but they became a believer, they received the new birth, they received the new life, they are a new creation, and then from that come these new works. Now, these verses are given at the end of a paragraph, an end of a whole section, and the purpose of this section is to show, first of all, that salvation is by grace. The whole section has been, from verse 1 down through verse 10, it shows that it's salvation by grace because, again, it starts off with, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He made us alive together with Christ. Again, by the power of Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the one that gave us the new life, the new birth, the new nature. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. And that's stated explicitly there in verse 5, in passing, by grace you have been saved. And then again here in 8 and 9, by grace you've been saved through faith. And even that's not of yourselves, even the faith is a gift from God. So there's nothing that we have done. The whole purpose of this plan of God is to demonstrate that, one, again, salvation is by grace, and that's why it's not by works. It's not even received by works. Secondly, faith is not due to the believer, but God who gives the faith. We are to have faith, and it's God who gives us that ability. And that means, again, even the faith that we have comes from God, so what have I got to brag about? And then finally, and this is more revealed in verse 10 than elsewhere in the preceding paragraph, the good works are the fruit, not of nature, but of grace. See, what we read together in the Westminster Confession of Faith, what did it say in that last paragraph about unregenerate people? Sometimes, don't you know unregenerate men who are faithful to their wives? Don't you know unregenerate people who don't steal? At least occasionally. What was the news item? We sort of missed it on Friday and heard it yesterday. A woman who was hit by a bus, and the bystanders lifted a 5-ton bus off of her. It happened in New York City, where nobody cares about anybody. There are two kinds of pedestrians, and she wasn't one and became the other, the quick and the dead. She wasn't quick enough. A bus hit her. She died, but they were able to save her 7 months. She was 7 months pregnant. They were able to save her child. But, you know, even in New York, of all places, unregenerate people did something nice. That does happen, but what? Does that save a person? No. How do we know that? Look again at 8 and 9. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, not of ceremonial works. Well, I was baptized, and I joined the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the only perfect church. Right. Getting wet here will not get you into heaven. Being a member of Faith OPC will not get you into heaven. If you stand before God, He says to you, why should I let you into heaven? Well, I joined Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So what? So what? There are other sinners at Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. In fact, all of them. Question is what? Did you trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for your salvation? If you're trusting in getting wet here or being a member here, then you're not what? You're not trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You're not saved by grace. You're saved by getting wet or joining a church or showing up and sometimes even staying awake through the sermon. Now, that's got to be a work of supererogation, right? Unbelievers who might occasionally do the works of the law, it doesn't do a thing for them spiritually. But it does do something for them spiritually if they don't do it. It's even worse. And do you remember the paragraphs earlier about us? When we do something, is my good work really in and of itself a good work? No, it's not. Why? Because I'm still a sinner. And I sometimes do good things for wrong reasons or in a wrong way. And who I am, leaving aside for the moment what Christ has done for me, who I am still makes that nothing more than what I already owe God anyway. But I have been saved by grace through faith. I have become God's workmanship. He's molded me and is still molding me. He has created me. Notice that preposition again, for those of you who are here consistently in the afternoon, in Christ Jesus. I was created in Him. All of this was done to enable me to do good works. So that now when I do something that I'm supposed to do, God accepts that as a good work. Why? Because I'm such a good boy? No, but because I'm in Christ Jesus. And He's perfect. We said in passing during the Sunday school hour that Christ kept the old covenant for us. He kept the law perfectly for us. But Christ also has kept for us the new covenant. You just say, He's kept the covenant. Because I don't always trust Christ, do I? I don't always trust the Father, do I? I don't always pray like I should. Even though I've been born again, it's Christ who keeps the covenant for me. So that when I do the things I'm supposed to do, God accepts them because I'm in Christ. And there's a danger here. The danger is to think that because I'm saved by grace through faith, I've got it made. I don't have to worry. We do need to worry. We do need to worry if, having professed to be believed, to be saved, to profess to having believed in Christ, to claim that He has given us a new nature, that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, we do need to worry if there aren't any good works. Because I've been created, recreated for that purpose. Notice again the last phrase there in verse 10, which God prepared beforehand. Before I was recreated, He had prepared those works for me to do. Those things that should be accompanying me like a bunch of little puppies running around. Those things that wherever Roy goes, those things should be there. And that's how it's demonstrated that I am a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We need to be careful not to get the cart before the horse. And we need to be careful that we claim that the horse is linked up, but it's run off without us. In other words, we need to be careful to say, I'm saved by grace through faith, but there are no good works. If there are no good works, then there's no reason to believe I'm saved by grace through faith. And if I'm claiming to be saved, claiming to have status with God because of my good works, then I've never received that salvation at all. First comes salvation by grace through faith, trusting in Jesus and Him alone. And then come the good works. And if both aren't true, you don't have any status. The words you will hear are not, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The words you will hear are, "Depart from me, I never knew you." May God keep us from ever hearing those words. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before Him. Father, we thank You for these very, very familiar verses. We can rattle them off. We hear them read and they just go right in one ear and out the other because they are oh so familiar to us. But I pray, Father, that the time we've had today would have allowed Your Spirit to maybe make them stay for just a moment between our ears and to hear what You've done for us. If we have salvation, it's been free for us. It's by grace. It's a gift. It cannot be earned or deserved. And even the faith by which we receive it is something You've given to us. So that all that we have and are is from You. And there's nothing we can brag about except our God. Even the good works that we hope to have and that we must have if we really have been saved, they also are from You. For You have created us anew in Christ Jesus for these works. And it is by Your appointment and His provision and the Spirit's work that these things happen and are the proof that we really have received Your salvation by grace through faith. I pray, Father, that the men around us, men and women and boys and girls around us, will see those good works that point to Christ, and that we would do the pointing as well. That we would not be bragging on ourselves before You or before others, but we would be bragging upon our God, who is rich in mercy and grace. pray these things of you in Christ's precious name. Amen.